What I'm interested in basically is the fact that while we were talking there, we were going from Scottish to Italian and back to Scottish to wonderful. It's like fish in water, backwards and forwards, without really worrying about the language. Without really worrying about the language.
Yes.
And that so perfectly sums up really what's happening in Bhaga and what's been happening with Bhaga for now generations. This constant flow backwards and forwards between Scotland and Bhaga. And you're part of that.
Yes, I believe so. But I first came here when I was a young person, very young, when in 1950 I came with my mother and my sister. It was just after the war, and I didn't have any Italian then. I was a young person. My mother spoke Italian well. But it was a case then of discovering the experiences they had in Bhaga during those war years, because the Gothic line came really through this valley, through the Garfagnana. And we had a farm and a little farm and a house there, which was ruined really as a result of that war. And I came back year after year as a student. I was in Rome eventually, studying for the priesthood at the Scots College. And then it's been a case of coming back, not regularly, but from time to time. And I think my affection with the place and the warmth of the welcome I've received and the family that embraces me, all of that has become stronger as years gone by. And I suppose I would love to have more time to spend here. As I come at the moment, it's something of a busman's holiday, because I'm expected as a bishop to celebrate the Mass and so on, and on an occasion like this I'm very happy to do it. But when we sit here in this lovely atmosphere, this lovely air, and look out on these beautiful valleys and hills, yes, it is at a place which has an immense attraction.
You mentioned earlier Trepignana.
Yes.
Your family's from Trepignana?
One part of the family, yes. From Trepignana and from Riana. In the old register at Riana, it remarks that the family came da Conti di Bhaga, so that the part I think just below the hills there in the plain, da Conti di Bhaga.
See, once upon a time that wasn't even part of the Comune of Fasciano, that was part of the Comune of Bhaga as far as I know.
Was it?
I think Riana and Trepignana was actually part of the Comune of Bhaga at one time.
Yes. I know from what little I've read about the history of these parts that, you know, different authorities have governed these places, even modern at one point.
Of course.
And of course, Pisa, interestingly.
Bye.
Pisa is the archdiocese of which the church here is part. One would expect it to be Lucca.
To be Lucca, instead. No, it's Pisa.
Yes.
That does surprise lots of people, but historically there's a reason for it.
And Lucca. But of course, this was once a fief of Florence, and probably the wealth of Bhaga depended upon its association with Florence.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely. Well, just look at the architecture that there is in Bhaga Vecchia. Yeah.
And those lovely Della Robbia plaques.
Yes.
Magnificent.
Okay, can we turn just in 1 second to Scotland?
Sure.
The Italian cloister garden.
Yes.
So now it's official, it's definitely going to happen. That was the official...
Oh, yes.
That was the unofficial official.
Yes. Well, it was a good opportunity to state that here, because within the month, the work will actually start.
Wonderful.
We've had the tenders, as they call them, the tenders in from various firms, and we now know how much we will be able to do of a larger scheme. But this part of the scheme will be realised, the garden part of it, yes.
So the Duomo in Glasgow is going to be shut
for about
a year while works renovating on the
That's
Duomo.
Right.
And then there's going to be work done at the same time outside
in the cloister, yes. To enclose a space which belongs to us, which has been open to the public for a while, but hasn't served the purpose because it's a bit windswept and so on. So the idea is to enclose it with a cloister. And in the centre of the cloister is this garden. And in this garden, there is the monument that we've conceived. my first thought had been, you know, a piece of Italian artwork, and, but in fact, as it has transpired, it's under the design of a Roman architect.
This is Giulia,
Giulia Chiarini. Chiarini, yes. Yeah. She is the architect that is employed by the Scots College in Rome, and the person that I appointed as administrator of the cathedral had previously been the rector of the Scots College in Rome, and he said to me, could we ask Giulia if she might provide a design for this monument? And I was quite almost shocked by the design.
It's a very modern design.
Yes, and it's quite extremely different from what we conceived, yes. Course, but it's a series of milled plinths set at angles of different sizes, I suppose hinting at tombstones,
right.
But actually engaging people almost into a small maze, sort of bringing them in, and as they come in they see themselves reflected on these plinths, and as they look they also see inscriptions, and those inscriptions will be from the New Testament and from Italian poets. And actually Ronnie Condry, who's my communications officer, his Italian professor, was asked by us if she would give us a selection of texts. And so she just loved that work, if you like, just trawling through the poets to get something which would be suitable for this monument, and has come up with some very, very beautiful quotations, including one from Giovanni Pasquale.
From Pasquale.
Yes. Mm.
So it reminds me slightly of Coventry Cathedral, with the design. Do you remember when
yes.
you first put the designs out of Coventry
yes.
Cathedral?
Yes.
It's this very...
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Okay,
bye-bye.
Fine. Hope you avoid the golden eagles.
Yes. Yes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
So this opens then in the winter of 2010, isn't it?
Well,
right?
We expect the cathedral to be, these phases, first phases of the work to be completed by October, November of next year. We would like to think that the cathedral will be reopened in time for the Feast of St. Andrew, which is November the 30th. It is dedicated to Andrew. It's in a couple of years' time, a few years' time, it'll be celebrating its bicentenary, which makes it one of the oldest post-Reformation Catholic churches in Scotland. There was, of course, the medieval cathedral. There still is that cathedral, the only cathedral in the mainland of Scotland that survived the Reformation intact. A very beautiful building, but it belongs to the state and is in the care of the, you know, church-wise, in the care of the Church of Scotland. But more and more use is being made of it ecumenically now, and I've been very happy to have had some, what shall we say, contribution to make in that context. But so this St. Andrew's Cathedral is about 200 years old, and is one of the finest, in my opinion, essays in early Gothic, neo-Gothic, before Pugin, who's Augustus Welby Pugin, to whom is attributed the neo-Gothic movement architecturally, artistically in Britain. But this is earlier, it's a Scottish some years prior. So it's a fine building, and it's recognised as such by the state. It's listed in the A category as a building of historic and architectural importance. It's not a big building, but I think that gives us, challenges us to make the most of what it is. But then when you see the Duomo here, you know, and it's not a great cathedral, but it is a very iconic building, I think.
It's a strange space inside the Duomo.
Isn't it? Yes.
Larger inside than outside. It's got strange acoustics. It's got a light that's particular. There's a whole series of things going on inside.